This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on bolstering partnership between India and Sri Lanka. The participants are Gurjeet Singh, former ambassador, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
President of Sri Lanka, Anuradha Kumar Dissanayake, is on a three-day visit to India. Interestingly, this is his maiden visit after becoming the president of the island nation. Several decisions were taken today. To discuss more on the bolstering partnership between the two countries, I am joined by Ambassador Gurjeet Singh. Ambassador Singh, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Ambassador Singh, Mr. Dissanayake came to power in September this year and he came to India on a maiden visit in this capacity. How significant is this visit in bolstering the partnership between the two countries?
I think it is a very significant visit because Sri Lanka is emerging from and a very desperate economy. And I think their reaching out to India is very notable. Traditionally, Sri Lankan leaders always look to India first, just as India has neighborhood first. But particularly Mr. Dissanayake's own party, the JVP, are now clearly adopting a rational position towards India. Therefore, I think the visit of President Dissanayake putting India first is significant both in terms of the tradition of Sri Lanka and a new evolution of his own party's position.
Do you think that this visit will send ripples on the world map? Like, how is it going to give out a message to the other countries about the strong India-Sri Lanka ties, which you have already mentioned have traditionally been so?
So I think Sri Lanka and earlier Maldives are examples that the reality of geoeconomics cannot be ignored, however much countries may wish to engage countries which are far away. Yes, some countries may do more, but India always does better and India is always closer. So I think the Maldives example and now the Sri Lankan example shows that India does not have to play favorites in their internal politics. And when it comes to helping their development and economic well-being, India is a leader in this. And I think that message will clearly go out to other countries in the region and beyond.
Let's listen into Foreign Secretary Vikram Misri.
Sri Lanka is India's closest maritime neighbor and has been an integral part of India's neighborhood first policy and India's vision Sagar. The two countries are civilizational partners with a unique friendship, and India has time and again demonstrated that it is a dependable partner.
I would now like to draw your attention to the trade relations. India is Sri Lanka's largest trade partner and the bilateral trade between the two countries is US$5.5 billion. India is also one of the largest contributors of FDI with a cumulative figure of US$2.2 billion till last year. This evening, the president also held a meeting with the CEOs of the leading companies from various sectors. In your opinion, what are the areas which the Sri Lanka government is exploring for expanding the business opportunities in their country?
Sri Lanka was one of the earliest countries to start a PTA and then an FTA with India. And that has worked wonders because if the bilateral trade has gone up substantially and the Indian FDI into Sri Lanka has worked, because the Indian FDI into Sri Lanka does not go for the Sri Lankan market. It goes for better ambience from which they can re-export to India on a buyback. Now, I think this model is very clear and successful. Now, the Sri Lankan economy went into a tailspin in 2022, and with the large dose of assistance from India, it is slowly emerging. The economy is stabilized, but it is not an economy which can sustain new borrowings or new debt. Therefore, as the joint statement of India and Sri Lanka today says, that we have to move to a partnership model which is investment-led. And in that investment, how much Sri Lanka attracts Indian business is what was the importance of the meeting between Indian CEOs and President Dissanayake. Ultimately, the Sri Lankan economy has to reach a stage where it can repay its loans, and the way to kickstart that economy is to have a large dose of investment for which Indian government is encouraging. You asked me about the sectors. The sectors are automobile parts, garments, textiles, renewable energy, pharmaceuticals, and infrastructure. And I think in almost every sector where Sri Lanka has a performing manufacturing or service facility, India is a ready partner for them.
Your answer brings me to my next question. You spoke about the assistance in Sri Lanka's debt restructuring process. Could you please expand a little on this and explain our listeners what exactly did India do to help Sri Lanka come out of the economic crisis which surfaced in 2022?
Sri Lanka's main economy was on its garments exports and its tourism. Now, in 2022, due to the pandemic, both these were badly hurt. And due to certain government decisions, their agriculture collapsed, leading to huge import bills for food and fertilizer, which they could not afford. Sri Lanka would have become a bankrupt country had India not stepped in with a massive dose of loans, grants, and credit lines. So as a result, nearly $4 billion was offered to make the bridge for Sri Lankan economy to cross over. With that stability, Sri Lanka went to the IMF and negotiated another package, which is currently being implemented, but under fairly harsh conditions. So Sri Lankan economy is stable, but not out of the woods. In this, India was the lead player and was the co-chair of the Committee of Creditors. So I think that has really convinced Sri Lanka that as a friend and partner, India will always stand by them in difficult times.
Now I would like to bring in Prasar Bharati Special Correspondent in Colombo, Dr. Ahmed Muin Farooqi. Dr. Farooqi, first of all, I would like you to enlighten us about the reactions which have come up in Sri Lanka after the bilateral meeting between the two leaders. And first of all, how did the media also react to the president's visit to India? He chose India as his first country after assuming the position. So your comments on that.
To begin with, the media in Sri Lanka was very upbeat with regard to the visit of President Dissanayake to India, not just because it was his first overseas visit, but it's also because there was an expectation that something positive will emerge out of it. That's one. However, at the same time, it has to be remembered that President Dissanayake continued the tradition which the previous presidents have had in Sri Lanka for making India the first port of call. And that's a very positive development because, as Ambassador Singh has mentioned, there had been negative history in terms of the insurrections that JVP was part of, in which it was having an anti-India stance. And given that now the JVP is a primary constituent in National People's Power, and the National People's Power-led government is in power in Sri Lanka, it was a little bit of worry among many experts here that would India be the first port of call in this government as well. However, President Dissanayake continued in this manner. At the same time, today's the joint press statement which both leaders came up with, they have mentioned about a few developments, a few announcements were made, one of which was making a new assistance for the students of Jaffna as well as the eastern province. At the same time, there's also another project that has been announced in which a grant assistance of about $14.9 million would be provided for Maho Anuradhapura section, where India has already done work earlier as well. This will be the signaling project. In addition to this, agreements, one was on amending the double taxation between the two countries. This was also entered into at the same time. Secondly, another agreement between NCGG, that is National Center for Good Governance, and Sri Lanka Institute of Development Administration on training and capacity building of civil servants of Sri Lanka in India. This is something which is very, very important because that is one place where Sri Lanka has been looking forward to. And this comes as a positive step because India has been doing this to various countries. There have been iTech programs which India has been running, and this comes as a further step towards boosting the ties that exist between the two countries. In fact, I have to add here that already this year, about 100 plus officers, bureaucrats from Sri Lanka have come to NCGG and they had training, and this has been institutionalized today when Prime Minister Narendra Modi and President Dissanayake came out and announced the decision with regard to entering into the MOU for capacity building.
I would like to mention here that both the nations have decided to complete the defense agreement soon. Interesting part here is Prime Minister Modi also spoke about the Colombo Security Conclave, and he said that it is important for regional security, peace, development. So how important is this island nation for maintaining not just the security of India, but also the Indian Ocean region? I would also like to mention here that we have been hosting joint exercises in the past, and from tomorrow onwards, the bilateral naval exercise between the two countries, SLINEX, will be underway in Visakhapatnam, India. So Ambassador Singh, first your comments on this.
Sri Lanka and India are already members of IORA. In fact, Sri Lanka is the chair this year, and India the vice chair. But the Colombo Security Conference, which came up originally as a Sri Lankan initiative with India and Maldives, today has Mauritius and Bangladesh as members and Seychelles as an observer. This Colombo Security Conference is essentially looking at security and not merely at development. We are also trying to get Sri Lanka to have a shared view of the Indian Ocean with us, looking at all the issues that you mentioned, because they are a common threat to India and Sri Lanka, given their proximity. Now, India follows the principle that smaller neighbors should be given more importance. So you see that the new secretariat of the Colombo Security Conference is going to be in Sri Lanka. In the past, India supported the secretariat of BIMSTEC in Bangladesh, the secretariat of SAARC in Nepal. So this is a good policy that we follow, so that our neighbors have a stake in regional arrangements whose objectives are shared with us.
Dr. Faruqi, your comments on this.
Colombo Security Conclave is a very important development in the recent times, as Ambassador Singh has also mentioned here. This talks about primarily counter-terrorism, maritime safety and security, combating trafficking, as well as transnational organized crime, cybersecurity, and various other crime-related issues. And there is also a component of disaster relief and humanitarian assistance. At the same time, this Colombo Security Conclave, it has a very narrow ambit of zone. However, IORA has a very bigger kind of a scope. At the same time, we have to remember here that India has time and again proven that it has been the first responder in any crisis for its neighborhood countries. At the same time, Sagar Outlook has made a huge difference in the way India perceives the assistance that it provides to various countries, especially, as Ambassador Singh mentioned, to the smaller countries. In this regard, India has provided several helps, and this is something which the both leaders have talked about in terms of increasing and enhancing the regional security and giving more strength to it.
Ambassador Singh, in your opinion, how important it is to develop and enhance the people-to-people ties between the two countries?
Those are the most important, because sometimes political vagaries may take you apart, but it is your people-to-people and cultural connection which keep you together. The Ramayana link, the Buddhism link, these are inexorable. There are thousands of Sri Lankans who study in India, and now India has offered 200 more scholarships for weaker sections from the northern and eastern province. India has also offered to train 300 Sri Lankan civil servants annually for the next 5 years. So there's a lot going which is often under the radar.
Ambassador Gurjeet, very briefly, I would like to have your comments on the statement made by the Prime Minister today. The Prime Minister said that we hope that the Sri Lankan government works to fulfill the hopes of Tamils and complete the implementation of the Constitution of Sri Lanka. He also said that we hope that the government fulfills its commitment to conduct elections to the provincial council. How do you view these comments when it comes from the Prime Minister?
So, without aiming to intervene in Sri Lanka's internal affairs, India realizes that the responsibility that you must give a certain amount of autonomy to the Tamil population, who were unfortunately vanquished in a brutal civil war. But to recover from that, if you gave them that political autonomy, it would be more significant for them to be integrated in Sri Lanka. It is the maturity of the NPP government which will be called into account to implement this. And it is encouraging that during the presidential election, President Dissanayake, he won a large number of votes in the northern province. And in fact, during the parliamentary elections, the NPP increased its vote share.
With these comments, we would like to bring this discussion towards an end. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You were listening to our discussion on bolstering partnership between India and Sri Lanka. The participants were Gurjeet Singh, former ambassador, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.